For he's always glad when everything's bad, cause then his collections are good, 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 good. His nose knows no pathway of roses, no flowers that bloom in the spring. For it's catch as catch can for the scavenger man. Posterity, where is thy? All right, we're done.
That was so good, man. Hey there, this is Seth Juarez from Channel 9 here in the fabulous Las Vegas for Dev Intersection. I'm here with my good friend, James Montemagno.
Thank you so much, Seth, for having me. We've been trying forever to get the two of us together on film.
He lives like in Seattle, too, and I don't even see him.
Literally just a few blocks away.
That's right. So tell us what you do, my friend. Who do you work for?
So I'm a developer evangelist at Xamarin, focusing on kind of spreading the awareness and helping developers create beautiful cross-platform mobile apps for iOS, Android, Mac, of course, all the Windows platforms, all in C# in Visual Studio.
That's awesome. So there's a lot of ways to do applications for mobile now. Tell us why is Xamarin sort of uniquely positioned when it comes to people that are used to C#?
Well, the best thing, you know, I started my career in mobile development 4 years ago. And what was interesting there is I moved to Seattle, and my boss came to me the very first day, and he goes, James, we're going to CES, the big consumer electronics show in Vegas. Mm-hmm. He's like, we need an iOS, Android, Windows Phone, Windows Store app. He's like, go. And he goes, they need to be native, they need to be beautiful. And I'd only created one Windows Phone app ever in my life.
Sure.
And like Java, Objective-C, I had no idea, right? Yeah. Java, we get away, we can lowercase some things, maybe.
Yeah, and maybe.
Maybe. And Objective-C are like stars, brackets, who knows what's going on. So what the interesting part of that was like the native bit. He's like, they gotta be native, they gotta be fast, they gotta be beautiful. And I knew that there were gonna be pretty complex applications.
Sure.
So I found Xamarin, and the unique approach that we have is building a shared C# backend, essentially all of our .NET business logic. So models, view models, making RESTful service calls, SQL databases, or tying up to Azure to pull down data. Now, all of that usually on Windows are like your system link, XML, IO namespaces, and those exist running on the .NET runtime.
Right.
They're installed, or maybe they're new part of the new, you know, Windows 10 magical, you know, runtime stuff that's going on. And then for iOS and Android, what's unique about Xamarin, what I fell in love with it, is that you get all that .NET goodness, essentially. But instead of running on the .NET runtime, it's on the Mono runtime,
right,
which is, people don't know, it's the original open source implementation
right.
of .NET. I have,
right.
I have to preface that now
sure.
with original, because a lot of .NET is open source now, and the two worlds are blending very nicely together. But you know, when you want to, when you're a developer, you want just access to everything.
Yeah.
A new feature comes out, you know, 3D touch or something like that. You want to just take advantage of it and put it in your application. So what Xamarin does is we give you C# bindings around like every single API in iOS and Android and Mac.
Interesting.
And what we do is we expose those to you. They're not just like wrappers. Some developers are like, oh, they're probably just wrappers and they're like weird names. But we add the C# and .NET idioms and features like async await, lambdas, link support,
right.
Delegates, events. So even though you're accessing and adding an iBeacon feature or HomeKit or something in Android and Google Play services, you're doing it all in C#. So it feels very familiar. It's just a new API.
Okay.
And that's it. And then we bundle it all up into beautiful native application.
So let's talk a little bit about this, sort of how you would set up an application that you would, because obviously when your boss came to you and you had just done a Windows app, clearly like the way that views are handled in Android is different than the way they are in Objective-C and the way they are. How do you organize an application in a way with Xamarin so that you can sort of reutilize the most amount of code?
Yeah, so on average, most developers are sharing about 50, 60, or 70% of code. Mm-hmm. Because really, most applications are doing the same thing. You know, pulling down some data, displaying in a list, doing something, and maybe they're tying into a native feature here and there.
Yeah.
So what you do is you leverage portable class libraries. Essentially, you can write all of your shared code in one assembly and target multiple platforms. So these all are your models and view models. Now, I came from a Windows, I've been a Windows developer all my life.
Sure.
Found C#, fell in love, never looked back. And I've always structured my code in an MVVM way. So let's take our user interface out of the equation for a second.
Okay.
All right, let's forget about it. And what have we created? Even if we're just creating a Windows application, we create a shared project, a portable class library with all of our business logic that can go anywhere.
Sure.
Now, the advantages of Windows development from Silverlight, WPF, and UWP was that data binding was built into the framework, was
right.
built in. So you could utilize iNotify property change and observable collections and tie it in. Now, the core underlying systems of iOS and Android don't exist for MVVM binding. Mm-hmm. However, you can still bring in your view model, say this page and this Android page, this view controller and this Android page, have this common view model, and you can just either kind of roll your own MVVM framework, subscribe to notifications, or you could use other frameworks like MVVM Lite, which I had used for many years from Laurent, one of our Xamarin MVPs, and that works on iOS and Android to do some data binding, or MVVM Cross or Prism. There's all these different frameworks out there. So it's kind of you pick what you want to do on it. But the nice thing is that you're going to learn the user interfaces on each and then pull in that shared backend.
Awesome. Well, do you have a project you can show us? Maybe I can ask you some questions on how the thing works?
Yeah, absolutely. So, well, the first thing that we should talk about is something new to Xamarin and kind of the last year that we introduced with Xamarin 3. So this is actually last summer. So let me pull up my slides really quick and we'll walk through something really interesting that I wanted to show with you for our project called Xamarin Forms. So let me go ahead and pull the slide deck here to full screen. So now we talked about, let me go back here because we can edit this. So let me talk to you first about maybe how to get started, maybe very first run. So there we go. So our Visual Studio integration, if you're building, there's two different ways of building apps. Essentially traditional, which is building each interface separately for iOS, Android, and Windows. And we give you beautiful designers for iOS and Android you're seeing here on the right. So literally anything that an Android iOS developer you can do inside of Visual Studio. So laying out all your screens, and here's an example of a login screen. Let's just jump into slides for a little bit, then let's open up in the project.
Sure.
So when you're developing with Xamarin, there's two approaches. Essentially what we just discussed was a traditional approach that we call it. Another way you're creating a native application, but in this approach you're designing a iOS interface with storyboard files, which is like a complete overview. What we can see on the left here is we have a full storyboard designer built right into Visual Studio.
Oh, interesting. So this is a Xamarin storyboard designer for iOS. Does it work on Android as well?
So, ish, kind of. When you think about it, we're building two separate user interfaces. The storyboard is just how iOS works itself. It pulls us in and it navigates the entire flow.
Oh, got it.
What you're seeing on the right-hand side is our Android designer for Visual Studio. So these are built when you install Xamarin into Visual Studio. It's a plugin. You're going to get both the iOS designer for your iOS projects and the Android designer for your Android projects.
Got it.
So you build out those two UIs, pull in your view model shared code, bind it up essentially in the code behind.
So thinking about this, I'm starting to come to the realization, maybe you can correct me, that because the idioms are different in a sort of Android or iOS or Windows Phone, the mappings go to those idioms, right?
Yep.
And so the only part that you're not going to share really is those abstractions.
Correct.
And sometimes they're so similar that there's not much to do, right?
Yeah.
But sometimes if you want to do something super custom, then you're going to have to get into those abstractions a little bit better.
Yeah. Now what I'm going to blow your mind in a few slides here when we talk about Xamarin Forms.
Okay.
So now anyone brand new, we have support for 2012, 2013, and 2015.
Okay.
So everything, all that C# 5, 6 goodness. Now when you get started with 2015, when you go to install for the very first time, if you select custom, you're going to see Xamarin under cross-platform. It's been never easier to just install. So select Xamarin, you're good to go. Now a lot of developers might not have known that this was here, so they already have Visual Studio installed. Just go at xamarin.com/download, full universal installer, take care of you.
Sure.
100% good to go. Now, when we talk about the user interface, you said a lot of things are similar. Yeah. Well, a lot of our developers say, you know, James, I'm developing an application with hundreds of screens and they're all essentially the same. You know, I don't want doing tons of crazy complex, you know, animations or customizations. Wouldn't it be great if I had an API to actually build out a shared user interface?
Interesting.
And maybe I could do that all from XAML.
Okay.
For iOS, Android, and Windows.
And that's a significant thing because, like, I don't know what... Because I don't know what they're called. I remember learning about these and thinking, boy, this is very different. Because on Android, they have a different way of representing a page.
Yeah.
And same thing on iOS and same thing on Windows Phone. But you're saying that this Xamarin Forms abstraction allows you to sort of gloss over that? Or is it an abstraction that sort of paints on top of that?
So what it does is we abstract the common controls and layouts and pages into a single... shared API for you.
Oh, I see. So you've done a mapping to each one
exactly
under a unified API.
Exactly. Okay. We don't draw anything or anything like that. We when you create a Xamarin Forms list view, it creates the UI table view on iOS, list view on Android and on Windows, maybe a long list selector or something like that. So what's cool here is that, look here that we have our shared C# backend.
Yeah.
It's the same no matter which way you're developing, whether it's with Xamarin Forms or traditional, based on what, you know, ever you like. So we give you 40 plus pages, layouts, and controls, and you can create these from C# or from XAML. I'm a XAML guy.
Sure.
Once I found it in Silverlight and WPF, I never looked back. And that's actually why I liked Android development. I'm an Android developer at heart with C#, because it's an XML markup, just no data binding.
Right.
But I love it with Xamarin Forms because it brings two-way data binding into all of the platforms. And we do a bunch of other stuff, because we say, well, what else did developers need to get started? Well, they need navigation, animations, a dependency service, and a messaging center.
Sure.
The tools that you need.
Right, and I'm looking at this, because before I thought, boy, there's a lot of shared code that you have, but that's going to be mostly on the business side. But now it looks like there can be some shared UI code as well.
Exactly, yeah. So when you start sharing your UI code, you can mix and match some of the native traditional screens into it, but some applications I build, 100% shared code.
Yeah, and if you have 40 plus layouts and controls and whatever, that's going to cover probably 80 to 90% of what you're going to do anyways.
Exactly. So we can take a look at them really quick. We have some pages and layouts. So pages, you have like a flyout navigation, tabbed pages, carousels, like a pivot control that you flip through. And then you can put different things inside of all of them. And then you have layouts. And what I love is, I mean, stack layout, absolute, relative, refine, it's all about the grid.
Sure.
Doing a grid just made so much sense back when I started Windows Phone. Makes so much sense to have it on iOS and Android. We give you that ability. And you can mix and match these all together. So you can put these all in a scroll view, multiple stacks in a stack.
Interesting.
Yeah, but then we have the controls. So what we say is, take a look at the controls that are out of the box. And we have about like 30 or 40 of them. And what's cool here is, like, does your application fit this use case? Now, maybe you need one or two custom controls. You can, of course, bring them in,
sure,
which is nice. And we have great partners such as, you know, DevExpress, Telerik, SyncFusion,
sure,
Component One. All these great companies that are bringing their charts, graphs, everything you can think of into not only Xamarin, iOS, and Android, but Xamarin Forms.
Got it.
So we have things out of the box that you're getting: buttons, list views, maps, an editor, entry field, sliders, you know, cells, web views. Even if you want to mix and match all this together,
wow,
you're good to go. And these are the shared controls. So what that looks like here, and this is my abstraction, this is my beautiful artwork that
I
did.
Yeah, we're so good at drawing squares and stuff.
So you're only ever dealing with this API on the left. A Xamarin Forms button has a bunch of properties that have been abstracted. It has a clicked event and a text property. When your application runs, Xamarin Forms figures out the layout that it needs, and then what it does, it creates the native control on the page. So on Android, it'll create an Android widget of a button, and it has a clicked event and a text. On iOS, it creates a UI button, which has a touch-up inside event and text property. On Windows, clicked and content.
Right.
So it does this mapping on the right for you. You don't have to worry about this shenanigans.
Sure.
You're just dealing with this button. A clicked event happens on the right. It propagates up to the left or vice versa, which is very, very cool.
Yeah, I mean, you don't have to worry about that abstraction anymore.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about the abstraction. We've done it all for you. And some of the things are going to look the same, and some will look a little bit different. We've changed some names to be a little bit more mobile, because, you know, obviously WPF, and they weren't really thinking about mobile. So what we're seeing is some things like text box have been changed to entry, or progress bar to activity indicator. But a lot of things are the same. But my favorite part, Seth, is that we didn't change hardly anything about data binding.
Right.
It just works. We changed data context to binding context. And what we can see down here in this label is you have converters, converter parameters, string formatting, everything that you can imagine when it comes to data binding.
So you can do like a style XAML page that pushes all the styling down as well, and that will work.
Yeah, we do. We have styles, behaviors, triggers.
Oh, so the full
stack. Yeah, oh yeah, awesome. We didn't. We, you know, this is what developers requested from us, so that's what we gave them.
Sure.
You know, and then what's cool is since it's our schema, is we added some customized stuff. Inside of here, you can actually customize any property to say, when this is running on iOS,
interesting,
customize it on Android or on Windows Phone. Even on phone or tablet, you can do different customizations.
So I had seen Xamarin Forms before, but I hadn't seen this markup. This must be newer.
This is a little bit newer that we introduced recently, and we've actually shortened it a lot more. This is like a very long description of how verbose you could go with it. Which is very, very nice of customizations, because sometimes, especially tablet or phone, you do want it to look a little bit different.
Yeah, of course.
Your designer comes to you, and if we worked with designers, you know, like, you know what, iPhone, I really want it one little pixel over. So now you don't have to mess up your Android or Windows phone or Windows application. You can just, boom, put it right in here and customize it.
That's awesome.
And that whole thing propagates even to styles and behaviors. You can bundle all that up on a per-platform basis. So for instance, before we jump into the demo, this is a great example. I've shown it 100 times, which is creating a tabbed page, and I have a settings page. Or a profile login page. So for instance, our root here is a tabbed page. It has some children in it, and there's two content pages. And the first one's important, has a stack layout with some vertical options, some spacing, some padding in between the controls, two entry fields, doing a data binding to username, password, a button with a command. So when it's clicked, it calls a method
in
my view model. So my user interface is completely abstracted away. In fact, your business logic could be in a completely separate portable class library. In fact, a lot of my applications, all of the user interface XAML pages are just in a separate portable class library. So if I want to take that shared code to a whole new platform that's not supported by Xamarin Forms yet, I could do that, which is cool. Maybe I want to create a WPF application or use some code on the back end.
So this XAML, what you're saying is this XAML could even be shared.
Well, this XAML is going to be shared across iOS, Android, or Windows Phone, but that backend logic could be shared.
Sure.
Yeah. Now, what's nice here is iOS, you got tabs on the bottom with icons, on the top on Android, and a pivot control. The idioms are correct, too. So it's not just the controls, the idioms are correct on each platform.
Right. That's awesome.
So you want to take a look at this?
Yeah, let's do it.
Cool. So I'm going to jump over into Visual Studio 2015 here. And what's really cool is if we actually jump into my solution, this is a pretty common Xamarin Forms application. I have my portable class library. This is essentially nearly 100% of my code inside of this, unless I want to actually customize the iOS or Android, maybe tap into some native APIs. So what we can see is I have some models here. This application I'm creating is called My Shop. It's essentially a way for any business owner to create a mobile application that their consumers can find their stores and also leave feedback. And it's all tied up into Azure. So I have feedback and a store model here. I have some view models that are all tied to the page. And here's my pages. I have a stores page, store page, a home page, a feedback page. And then this thing called app, which is an abstraction of an application.
I see.
So we can actually take a look at that really quick. This is where all Xamarin Forms applications start. This application has lifecycle events for all of your applications. You have essentially your constructor, and you new up your main page. What is the very first thing your users are going to see? And I have a navigation page, and I put my home page inside of it, and I'm setting some text color backgrounds here. And then I can get notifications on start, sleep, resume. So if I need to save some state out, I need to cancel some tokens, I can do that there. Now, what's cool here is if I zoom back over, notice that we still have our iOS, Android, and all the different Windows platforms right here. Now, that's unique, and why we have those is because we don't cross-compile.
Right.
Xamarin Forms is just a portable class library coming from NuGet, so we update it regularly. It's just a NuGet package. But what we do is we're building and compiling both iOS and Android, and then for Windows, that's Microsoft.
Sure.
That's all part of Microsoft. It goes through the normal compilation MS build steps, and boom, you have an application. So if I go into Android, there's literally no code in here. The only thing is a start point for the application, so Android itself knows how to start. And what I do is I do some initialization of Xamarin Forms, and I'm using Azure, so I initialize Azure mobile apps in the back end. I'm using Xamarin Insights for crash reporting in this application. And then I just load the application. And this app, if we were to peek in here,
is the entry point that we just looked at.
Is that entry point. Exactly. And that's it. That's all the code inside of my actual Android or iOS or Windows application.
That's interesting because the XAML, you usually think you'd have to have the XAML in each project. But the way Windows or Xamarin Forms is set up is that XAML works across any of the projects.
Exactly. Yeah. It's super cool.
Cool.
Super cool. Now, for most XAML developers, we probably have a lot of XAML developers, and when I type out some XAML, you'll notice that it's similar, but there are some differences. So you're not taking existing XAML and bringing it over.
Sure.
You're going to create some user interfaces. So let's just kind of build out maybe a stores page inside of our application. So I have some view models here, and I have a stores view model, and this could look pretty familiar.
I mean, Yeah.
Got an observable collection. I have some grouping here, so I can give something some headers with maybe a key value pair inside of there. The title is called locations. I'm using our dependency service to grab the iData store. Mm-hmm. And our data store here, I'm a big interface-based developer. So here, of course, CodeLens is coming in. I love CodeLens. And you can see all the references here. But essentially, it gives me ways of adding a store, removing a store, getting stores asynchronously back. And I implement that over in Azure. We'll take a look at that next. But essentially, I have a selected store here. So when I select a store, if I have a navigation, I actually push a brand new page here. Some developers will be like, oh, you're accessing your UI from your code behind. You know, you could use things like Prism or MVVM Lite. You could do that, but for a few pages, it's okay. Make it work first.
Make it work.
Yeah. So I do that. The core of it here is actually down here in this execute get stores command. So what I do is I go out and I say, let me clear out my current stores. Go to the data store, grab all my stores asynchronously. That's going to go off on a background task, and it's going to talk to Azure, pull down everything. But it's also online, offline synced, so it only goes to Azure if it needs to, if I'm offline. Loads everything into my list, and then I sort it. If anything goes wrong, I pop up a dialog box, and I report that back to Xamarin Insights. Pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
And if we look at our store model, there's a bunch of getters and setters, some C# 6 features in here. So we can actually maybe let's do a list of these stores with name, location, hint, and maybe the image URI. So I'm going to open our stores page. Looks like some XAML.
Yeah.
And I have a content page, and we can see it's using the Xamarin Forms XML NS namespace in here. So I can come in, I can say, okay, well, let's do a stack layout inside of here first. And we'll say is visible. Oh, sorry, stack layout. Let's stack some stuff.
Yeah.
There we go. We'll put an activity indicator, so we'll know if something's happening in the background.
And that's a progress bar.
Little progress bar. So we'll say, is running. And we'll do a binding here to is busy. So if it's actually busy, then I'll say is visible. So only show that if we're busy. Binding is busy. There we go, some standard XAML. Now check this out. I think developers are going to love this. I want to create a list view. There we go. I'm going to have an items source.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to do a binding here to maybe stores. So if I look back at my view model up here, let's go to the top. There we go. We have stores right here, so it matches one to one. There's my stores. And what I could do is I could do a binding to my selected item even. And I could say binding selected store. There we go. Now what's cool is I can say list view dot item template, because I need a way of describing
for
my thing.
Each element in the store, all the stores that are in there.
Yep. So I'll just create a data template. Boom. So now I could come in and I could completely customize this any way I want. I could have a customized view cell, and I could then data bind some stuff. Luckily, Xamarin Forms has some built-in templates, so I could take advantage of an image cell that's in here. And I'll say, let's do the text property. We'll bind that, do a binding to the name of the store. There's some detail text. Maybe we'll do a binding here to the location hint that was on our store. And then there's an image source. So we can say binding to image URI. I think I did it. Let's double check it just to be sure. Image URI. So we're going to do some data binding here. Let's just create a new system URI. Now, what's cool here is that this is an image cell, so it has a little image of the location. So this will go off, and Xamarin Forms will automatically pull down the image from the internet, an embedded resource, whatever it is, based on what you're passing the image source.
Sure.
So now I can come over, and I could say, oh, I want to set my Android project as the startup. I have a list of all my emulators or physical devices, and we can compile this up and start. Now, before I start, let me show you actually how this binding works. So if I actually come to the code behind, notice there's a XAML CS file. Here, I have a little bit of logic in here, but essentially all I'm doing is setting the binding context equal to a new stores view model. And then when I'm appearing, I'm just loading the stores if nothing's in there.
Got it.
So very minimal code behind. So let's go ahead and start this up. All right, cool. So the application's loaded up. Now, this is the home screen. I didn't show the XAML, but it's an image and some buttons.
It's lovely.
It's very beautiful. I made those images myself.
Oh, nice.
Took them right from Xamarin.com. lovely. So now I'm going to tap on locations here. And as you see, we had a little spinner dialogue, and there's a list of all of our stores, AKA all of our headquarters at Xamarin in Argentina, Denmark. Now I have this bound to select. So this is just default. I didn't do any styling.
Sure.
Literally did this in 5 seconds. I go ahead and tap on a store, go to some details, and there I am. And go down, I could navigate, I could call the location, and kind of be good to go. Which is pretty neat.
And that's that list that we just made with the little bit of markup.
And that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's make this really pretty.
Okay,
you ready for this?
Yeah, let's do it.
Now, so I'm gonna delete all this here. I'm gonna bring in some really pretty XML. So I've done this ahead of time, some nice pretty XAML. So let's take a look at this. I'm gonna go down, I'm gonna go ahead and delete all these little comments. So what I did
you
is-
missed one, I think.
Did I miss one? Oh.
There you go.
There we go. So lovely.
Programming.
That's how we do it. So in this instance, I haven't really modified it too much. What I've done is I've added a little bit different of a loading indicator that says loading with our little activity indicator. Mm-hmm. But here's what's really cool is I'm now binding that selected item, still the same way, but two-way. So if I update the code behind, it'll null it out and sure. deselect it. I have an item source of items grouped and a group display binding of key. Now what that means is that it'll show the different countries that each store is in, or maybe you have states, for instance, which is cool. And then what I do is I have a very customized template, and it's using a grid here with some column definitions. And the thing to point out is that I'm using a circle image inside of here. So this is a custom control that I made that takes an image, cuts out a circle, because all the cool kids make apps That's with circles. And the rest of it's going to be the same. I'm making the image a little bit different on different phone sizes. And then that's it. And then that's my page. Now, you may be wondering, Seth, and I'm sure everyone else is, where is this data coming from? So what was that iData store? So I did want to bring up really quick before we run this again. Well, let me go ahead and go ahead and start deploying that there. So I don't have to change anything, just as XAML. Is I have my Azure data store. And notice here let's go ahead and using that dependency service of Azure data store. I'm implementing iData store. And all of the code to do this, it's like 160 lines of code
wow.
for all of Azure. I knew up a new mobile service client, and these keys are fine. You do or don't have to put them in there, but these are on my GitHub, so you're good. It's an open source project. I essentially initialize and I create some new tables. Just say, let me create a store table, feedback store. If I want to add some feedback, I insert it. I synchronize it. I want to get feedback, pull it.
It's return all, like, it. Simple all, stuff, yeah.
It's so easy. It's so great. Do I want to remove it? What do? You delete it.
Yeah.
It's so simple. It's so beautiful. To get that. So if we actually look at the get stores, all I'm doing is synchronizing the stores. So I'm pulling any new data down from Azure, and then that's it. I'm good to go, which is very cool. So let's take a look here. Let me pull up Android again so we can see our new styling. I'll go over to locations. There's our new loading in there. And boom, we have nice little Argentina, Denmark, United Kingdom. I can go scroll through. I can tap on London, of course, again, come back. It'll go ahead and deselect it. And what I didn't show earlier is I have a whole feedback page in here too. So this will go through and notice I'm just doing some like selecting the location I want. Maybe I want to say, you know, Seth is awesome. There we go. And now I'm going to insert some feedback right there, which is very cool, out to Azure. Now, let me go ahead and just boot this up over on iOS. Here's iOS. And we can run these actually side by side nearly, because you can actually see here, if I go ahead and say locations, I'm getting the iOS look and feel of that platform with the location.
Right.
I go into details here. I get some maps going on of the location. And I'm even tying in some native call and navigate methods in here. But what's cool is if I come back over to leave feedback and go ahead and go grab my stores, the iOS exact controls,
like the
right?
iOS stuff.
Yeah. And then I could say, Seth. Do that there. Done. Submit that out to Azure. Of course, I could boot that up on Windows and Windows Store, anything that I want. But what's cool here is that, of course, I could come back into maybe my SQL Server Explorer. And here's my Server Explorer. I'm connected to Azure. I have all my SQL databases. Here's my shop. Now, when I go to the SQL Server Explorer, here's all of my tables automatically. I'm literally connected to my backend. Wow. From Visual Studio, I never have to leave my IDE.
Sure.
It's a beautiful thing. Here's my feedbacks, here's my stores. I could go ahead and say, oh, let me go ahead and view this data. This will now go out essentially to Azure, and it's going to load all of my stores right into Visual Studio. There we go.
There you go.
There's all my data. Now, if I want, I could do the same thing for feedback, and I could modify these, and I could send back, I could delete different information back and forth. Here's all of my feedback that's coming back in here. Now, I thought, and you probably have the same thing, probably going into my database and trying to view feedback would probably be a little bit tedious.
Yeah.
So what I did is, I'm not a web developer.
Okay.
I'm a mobile developer.
Okay.
So when I was developing this app, I said, well, I could try to figure out how to create a website, tie into Azure, do all this stuff.
Right.
Or I could probably just create a mobile app to do all of it.
That's right.
So check this out. If I come back over into the code, there's an admin application. Here it is. It is a My Shop admin application. And the cool part here is it's using all of the code
from the portable library.
From the portable client library and extending it with its own portable library. Good. So it's using all of the consumer portable class library with this. So check this out. I'm just going to run it over here on Android really quick. So this goes off. It's called My Shop admin. We'll load it up. Here it is. Now notice it says manage locations and view feedback. So if I say view feedback, this at this point is going to go out to Azure, pull down everything, and there's our stuff that we just submitted.
Wow.
In your real time. And you want to see how fast this is, check this out. Let me do these side by side. Let me select a store here. Yeah, maybe Xamarin Argentina. I'll say hi. Submit it. Submitted. Pull to refresh. Boom.
There it is.
These aren't talking to each other. This is a physical phone in front of me talking over a one-bar Wi-Fi connection to pull down all of that data.
That's awesome.
That's how fast it is. Very
so
cool.
It looks like as a if you're a C-sharp dev and you're used to writing your WPF or your XAML stuff, Xamarin is the way to go if you're going to write sort of native cross-platform applications for iOS, Android, and Windows Phone.
Absolutely. And in fact, we didn't even take a look at Windows. You want to try out Windows
and
see if we can get it going? All right. So I'm going to set just the Windows Phone application as my startup, so nothing really different here. And I can just go ahead and run it on my emulator. So let's go ahead and just boot it up here. So now what this is going to do is it's going to go ahead and build up, and it's going to start my Windows Phone emulator right here inside of my VM. It actually works with some nice nested hypervirtualization. Nice. So this will take a few seconds to boot up.
All right, looks like it's opening up.
Here we go. So I got the home page here, and I have a light theme. So I haven't done too many customizations, but I could go in. I could leave some feedback, and it gets some nice little page transitions. There we go. And what we're seeing now is it's going to go out to Azure. It's going to load up our stores. So we have our picker here. I could go in, leave some feedback. Hi. Submit that out. Then I'll go ahead and submit it out to Azure. I can go take a look at all my locations. It's going to load it up. And I could customize all these headers and properties as well, but I get circle images. I can go into details, and it works just as you would expect.
Awesome.
Perfect.
And it's the same application. Well, it's the same guts for the whole application, pretty much.
The entire application. In this instance, nearly 100% of code is being shared across all platforms. And what's cool, and I got to mention it really quick, is we were talking earlier about native functionality, because often your application may not need to tap into too much native functionality, but it may.
Yeah.
Well, we created these things and worked with the community. We're big open source fans at Xamarin.
Sure.
To create these things called plugins for Xamarin and Windows. And what it does is it says, well, Xamarin forms and abstracts all of the user interface bits that you need into a common API. Wouldn't it be great if maybe taking a photo, GPS location, making a phone call, things that iOS, Android, and Windows all do, wouldn't it be great if that just had a common API?
Sure.
That would be lovely.
Yeah, that would be, I mean, shoot.
It's exactly what you want. So we worked with the community, and I've created about 10 of these, and what we do is we have an open source contributor license subscription that anyone can get if they're contributing to open source. And essentially what you do is you just abstract common APIs. So I have one called Geolocator, and you say get location async. And it just grabs the latitude, longitude, and altitude for
That's
you.
That's awesome.
That's it from shared code.
Yeah.
Now these work in Xamarin Forms and traditional, but let me just show you how easy it is here. So I'm going to come back over into my portable class library, and on my store page here, let me go ahead and find it, we have a navigate. We have a navigate and a call command. I'm going to drop this out a little bit. So when I check navigate, this is the cross external maps plugin.
Mm-hmm.
This is in shared code. I say navigate to this store, to this latitude and longitude. This will launch Bing Maps, Apple Maps, or Google Maps on each platform.
Depending on what you're on, yeah.
Exactly, to actually go ahead and do navigation to that location. Do you want to make a phone call? Use the messaging plugin. It'll automatically use the phone dialer to make a phone call to the specific number.
Wow.
That's it, from shared code.
That's cool, man. That's
and we
cool.
have tons of these out there. There's about 100 plugins out there, and they work on all Xamarin and Windows applications, built with Xamarin Forms or not.
This so is awesome. You're building. I'm glad you showed us code, too, so we can get a sense for what's going on. So where can people go to find out more?
So they can go to Xamarin.com, okay. obviously, to get started, full 30-day trial of everything you see here.
Sure.
My GitHub is huge. Follow me on Twitter at James Montemagno.
Of course.
But if you go to my GitHub page, I know you're big on GitHub, mm-hmm. and you've probably seen me. I'm always pushing code all the time. And all my applications I build are open source. All my plugins are open source. Same as Xamarin. We have tons of open source projects.
Cool.
This MyShop application is on my GitHub and also a pre-built app when you go to Xamarin.com/pre-built.
Awesome.
Boom. That's where you can get everything.
Well, thanks so much for coming, bud.
Thank you so much for having me. Finally, and I want to do one thing.
Yes.
I got to give you some monkeys before we go.
Oh, seriously. So these monkeys dudes are my favorite.
So now each monkey has its own unique preference, its own style, its own name. So this is Sebastian. This is my guy here. He's an original. He's old school.
Right.
He's a little thug. He's pretty awesome. He travels with me all over.
Nice.
Can't have him. But these two, there's a Xamarin monkey that I'd like to give you. I know you have some kids,
yeah,
too.
I do.
And this is a regional sweetheart from Thai that I've been branding and taking with me everywhere. But this one here, this one's for you.
Oh, man.
Thank you. And this one's for the kids.
This is so nice. Like, so. I feel like now in Vegas, I'll have all sorts of good luck with these people.
There you go.
Thanks so much for spending some time with us. Again, we're in Las Vegas for Dev Intersection. I am Seth Waters from Channel 9, and we will see you next time. Take care.
Thanks.